Thank you, choir. Thank you, Colin. I feel right at home with this, your minister music. I'm not going to tell you how far back I go with that family because it makes me feel kind of old, and I don't want to be old here, but I've loved this family for 45 years now, and it means a lot to see him. And Jill and I are delighted to be back with you again today. Thank you for inviting us. I love you, Pastor. I think you know what a great pastor you got. I don't have to tell you that, do I? Let me tell you, folks, good pastors are getting scarcer than hen's teeth out here now. Love him and his wife and be good to him. You're so blessed. I was pastor of First Baptist Church in Clinton for 23 years, and today they're going to announce, I guess they've already done it, who the new pastor is going to be. I have no idea, but I'll get the word this afternoon. But a pleasure to be back with you again. I've known Brother Charlie and his wife since Blue Mountain days. We love Blue Mountain College. Jill and I have two scholarships we've established there to help students get an education. And he's a Blue Mountain College graduate, and that means a lot to us. I'm going to Psalm 31. If you want to follow along with me, Psalm 31. I'll spend all my time just in that one psalm. Sometimes I preach all over the Bible, and so am I being heard? I'm getting a message here. Okay, Psalm 31. When you really feel that you need to talk to someone, and we all have that feeling from time to time, I just need somebody to talk to. And we've all used the statement, will you just lend me your ear? Lend me your ear, I want to be heard. My sermon is entitled, Bending God's Ear. And I get the idea from the third verse of, second verse of the 31st Psalm. Bow down your ear to me. This is a study of how a man talks with God. And I hope you'll see yourself in that situation. And I'll find myself just talking like the psalmist here, I think, before I'm through. Bending God's ear. Haven't we all at times said, Lord, I just need to talk to you? Therefore, we have no difficulty relating to the psalmist who said, bow down your ear to me. Get as close as you possibly can. Note, ear is singular. Have you noticed that? It's singular. Does that mean God has a bad ear? Jill has a good friend who has a bad ear, so when they talk, you got to get in the good ear side. This doesn't mean that God's got a bad ear. It's just the psalmist says, I want to be sure you're hearing me. So get that ear, get that one ear down here as close as you can because I have some things I want to say to you. We might bend the ear of God about any number of matters, but we'll look at those as the psalmist talks with God. And they may be some of the same things that bother you today. Number one, the psalmist said, Lord, I just want you to know that you're my rock. That's in verse 3. In verse 3, for thou art my rock. And so he said, I just want you to know, Lord, I'm counting on you here, for you are my rock. For all of us need a sure foundation for life. If you don't have it, you're in serious trouble. And Jesus is indeed the rock of ages. So God, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, for other foundation can no man lay except that one. That's the best. He is the sure foundation. So we sing on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And so the psalmist said, Lord, I just want you to know, even though you know my thoughts from afar off, but I just want to state it today, you're my rock. Second thing I want to talk about, Lord, I want you to know that I'm depending on you to lead me and guide me. In verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, and for my name's sake, thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." There's not one person in this congregation today who is not in need of the leadership and guidance of Almighty God. So this psalm relates to all of us. I need that myself. I've been trying to follow the Lord carefully since I was 19 years old. It's still my desire to be led and directed by the great God of the universe, the great God of our salvation. And we all need guidance. We need to be led in the way we ought to go. The 23rd Psalm, remember, he leads us beside the still waters. He leads in paths of righteousness. God is available for leadership, but we need to acknowledge that. If you haven't placed your life in that position today, it's a good time to do it. Lord, I want you to guide my life. I want you to lead my life. That's a prayer of my own life today. It's not something I'm talking about unrelated to you. But there's one addition there. The psalmist says, I want you to do it for your name's sake. In other words, honor and glory will be to your name as you guide my life. So he said, Lord, I just want you to know that I'm counting on you to lead me and guide me, and wherever that leads will bring honor and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number 3, he says, Lord, I want you to protect me from the nets and snares of life. Verse 4 says, pull me out of the net. All of us better be aware of the fact that there are snares and nets that will reach out to capture us. I see this happening every day. Happened just the other day in ministry. Pastor was caught in a snare. Can happen to anybody. And so the psalmist, being aware of that, said, Lord, I need you to help me and pull me out of the nets, and I want you to prepare me that I might walk in the right steps and be protected from the snares. The Bible says a bird will haste to the snare without knowing that it's for his life. You see, if there's a snare out there, it's for your life. Just remember, it's for your life. And so the psalmist says, I'm aware of the fact that there are nets and snares out there, and I want you to protect me from that, Lord. Don't want to be an embarrassment to you in any way. Just protect me from the snares. One of my dearest friends is C.Z. Holland. He may have preached here. At one time, he was a mentor to me, pastor of First Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, for a lot of years, and retired in Clinton. And one day we were talking about this very thing. I think he lived to be 95. I never thought he'd die because he's too busy living. Called over his house one day. I said, Miss Holland, I need to speak to Dr. Holland. She said, well, he's up on top of the house. 92 years old, up on top of the house. Go tell him to come down. Doesn't need to be up there. But he said, people work hard trying to get your life in order. It's like an airplane taking off. Said, you get your education, you get married, you get your vocation, everything is just going along here smoothly. You stay with that for years, and all of a sudden, you have a crash landing. He said, Bill, what I want at my age, I want a smooth landing. That's what I want. I think I've lived a pretty good life. I just don't want to crash. I want a smooth landing. And so there are snares all about. And God, I want you to protect me from the snares and the nets. Number 4, the psalmist said, Lord, I want you to know that I'm rejoicing in your mercy, that you are a loving and merciful God. That's wonderful. Our God is a merciful God and a loving God. And I thank you, Lord, for extending grace and mercy to me. I just rejoice in that today. And if I could say the same thing that the psalmist is saying, I said, Lord, I just want to thank you that you're a God of mercy and grace, a God of great love. That's something to rejoice in. Number five, and this is the thing that really, I think, drew me to this psalm. He said, Lord, I want you to know that my times are in your hands. Now stay with me here, folks. This is so important for all of us. The times are in his hands. What time? Anytime. I do not know how much time or what times may hold, but I do know that God holds all the times. Job said, times are not hidden from the Almighty. Whatever your time or today, God's acquainted with it. It's not hid from him. If you're facing old age, remember the Bible says, God will not cast us off in old age and the time. If you're facing an opportunity of some kind today, the Bible says, so Esther, who knows, but that you're brought into the earth for such a time as this. All of you are here by God's providence, and you're here for a time. And that time is in the hands of God. A time of refreshing. I love the refreshing times. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, the refreshing time is in his hand. Time of trouble, maybe speaking to someone today that's facing some trouble in your life. Let me tell you, the Lord will deliver you in the time of trouble. It's still his time. Your troubling time, but it's his time. The time of fear, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. There's the time to be born, the time to die, it's all in his hands. All of us have said at some time, now Lord, I'm really having a time, maybe a good time, maybe a bad time, but it's God's time. Good times, bad times, anytime. Somebody might say, well, I had a good time last week. God was there. It was his time. Or you might say today, I'm really having a tough time. God is there. All time, whatever it is, time and times, that's in his hands. And he says, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord in all these times. Trust in him at all times. So the psalmist says, Lord, I just want to bend your ear, today and say, I believe the time and the times are in your hands. Whatever is out there, it's all in your hand. I'm having a good time, it's God's time. I'm having a tough time, God's time. The times, all times, are in his hands. So I just wanted to bend your ear today and acknowledge the fact that all time is in your hands. Number six, in verse 22, Lord, I just want to say that in my alarm and in my haste, I have said things I live to regret. And I want you to forgive me. Verse 22, for I said in my haste. Sometimes we speak in haste, and the psalmist acknowledges that. He said, I even said, if you look at verse 22, I even said that you could not see and did not see what was happening in my life. I said, I'm cut off from before your eyes. You don't even see what's going on in my life. Lord, I'm sorry about that. I've got more sense than that. But you caught me at a downtime, and I wondered where you were. Maybe you were not aware of what was happening in my life. Lord, I know better than that. A statement like that denies your omniscience, for you're all-knowing. For you have all knowledge and all things. before your eyes, and I'm sorry about that. I pray you forgive me. Wonderful to have a friend who is available when you need to bend an ear just to talk to someone. But God never slumbers, He never sleeps, His ear is always available. And I have an idea that I picked all of you up somewhere along the way in these remarks. Can we say to Him, "You're my rock"? Can you say to Him, "You're my guide, and I'm counting on that"? Can you say to Him that You have freed me from the snares and nets of life and protected me, and I thank You? Can you say, "I'm rejoicing in the love and mercy of God"? Can you say, "My times are in Your hands"? If I'm having a good time, having a bad time, it's all in the hands of God. Can you say, "Lord, forgive my hasty and thoughtless comments. I'm sorry. I knew better"? This is His talk with God. I'm sure He found a loving and caring response. Now then, before He leaves, He said, "Lord, I appreciate being here with You and bending Your ear. Thank You for listening to me. Now, I've made up my mind about some things I want to do. And maybe this would be Your commitment today." He said, number one, verse 23, "I want to say to people, love the Lord." Love the Lord. "Also, I've made up my mind," He says in verse 24, "I will tell people to be strong and of a good courage." Yeah. You're going to meet someone this week who needs that. Tell them to be strong, to be of good courage. In verse 24, "I've decided to tell people to take heart. Whatever they're going through, take heart." And then in verse 24, "I want to say to people this week, you need to set your hope in God." Yeah, set your hope in God. I trust that's where your hope is today for your salvation, for life abundant and life eternal. You place your hope in God. If not, we give you the opportunity today to welcome Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior. And as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God. If you feel impressed of God to be a part of this church family, then we welcome you as you come today. May we stand together, please, as we sing.
Spirit call, come.
I had one person this morning mention the guitar. I'm a country picker, and that's all it needs is just one. So if that's all right with you, I'm going home this afternoon. I'll be back tonight, and I'll bring my guitar and sing you a song. I love to do that. And then tonight I'm going to preach a sermon that's a little bit different. It's entitled, When God Sings. Have you ever wondered if God sings? We know He speaks, but have you ever wondered, does God sing? I've wondered that. Would it be a bass or tenor? I don't know. But there's an interesting passage in the Bible from the little book of Zephaniah. It talks about God singing, and I want to deal with that tonight. Okay, how do we close things down here?
We sing closed song after some announcements. Choir practice tonight at 5. And if you're in the youth age, come to youth. I'd like to see you in our student ministry. Let's join hands and sing our parting chorus.